A traveller and a stranger. The dangers of threading through time are many, but one often overlooked is the danger it poses for the traveller. The mind is fragile and time is pitiless. Even powerful marks have lost themselves to the ravages of their temporal experiments. Perhaps it is best, then, that over the course of recorded history, only a few hundred beings have ever possessed this power, and that most of them are now dead. Meditations on Time by Basara Oboro, renowned Mazabashan scholar. When Simon awoke, he was alone. He lay flat on his back on a scrubby plain veined with brown rocks and white ribbons of ice. The sky above him was the colour of slate, choked with sweeping clouds that reminded him of waves, and from them fell thin spirals of snow. For a few moments he lay there, hardly breathing, the snow collecting on his lashes. Then the memories of the last several hours returned to him. Queen Riel, giving birth to her child. Simon's father, his mind no longer his own, throwing himself off her tower. Riel thrusting her infant daughter into Simon's arms, her face worn, her eyes wild and bright gold. "You're strong, Simon. I know you can do this." Threads glowing at his fingertips. His threads, the first ones he had ever summoned on his own, without his father's guidance. And they were strong and solid. They would carry both him and the child in his arms to safety. But then, the queen, behind him in her rooms, fighting the angel named Corian, her voice distorted and godly, a brilliant light exploding outward from where she knelt on the floor, knocking Simon's threads askew and summoning forth new ones, dark and violent, overtaking the others. Threads of time, more volatile than threads of space, and more cunning. He tightened his arms around the screaming child, clutched the blanket her mother had wrapped around her, and then a rush of black sound, a roar of something vast and ancient approaching. Simon surged upright with a gasp, choking on tears, and looked down at his arms. They were empty. The only thing left of the princess was a torn piece of her blanket, slightly singed at the edges from the cold burn of time. All at once he understood what had happened. He understood the immensity of his failure. But perhaps there was still hope. He could use his power, travel back to that moment on the terrace with the baby in his arms. He could move faster, get them both away to safety before Queen Riel died. He pushed himself to his knees, raised his skinny arms into the frigid air. His right hand still held the child's blanket. He refused to let it go. It was possible to summon threads with a cloth in his fist, and if he released the blanket, something terrible would happen. The certainty of that tightened in his chest like a screw. He closed his eyes, his breath coming shaky and fast, and remembered the words from his books. "The Imperium lies within every living thing, and every living thing is of the Imperium. Its power connects not only flesh to bone, root to earth, stars to sky, but also road to road, city to city, moment to moment." But no matter how many times he recited the familiar sentences, the threads did not come. His body remained dark and quiet. The mark magic with which he had been born, the power he had come to love and understand, with his father's patient tutelage inside their little shop in Arme de la Terre, was gone. He opened his eyes, staring at the stretch of barren, rocky land before him, white peaks beyond.